Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service this morning. It is good to see everybody here, and I hope we've all had a good week, and we are excited about being here together to worship this morning. If we do have any guests this morning, we do welcome you, and we're glad you're here to worship with us this morning, and hope that you can come back anytime. We do have several announcements, quick announcements. One reminder, today we do have a youth dinner this afternoon, and we invite all of you to stay if you can. If you haven't made plans for lunch, then you are more than welcome to stay here and eat with us this afternoon. Also tonight, we have a fifth Sunday community service at Horse Branch. So there will be no services here tonight. We will all meet over at Horse Branch for our fifth Sunday community service at 6 o'clock. Also to the Board of Stewards, I have one quick announcement. Our meeting was scheduled for next Monday, the 8th. But Bible school will be going on that night, so we're going to push that back until the following Monday, the 15th. So just for board members, we will have our meeting the 15th instead of the 8th. There were a few that had some announcements they would like to make. Mary, I believe you wanted to make some announcements about Bible school.
Is it good? Good morning. Bible school 2015 will be kicked off next Sunday, and I hope y'all are as excited as we are. The theme is Do What's Right from a verse in Deuteronomy, and I forgot the exact reference. I'll learn it next week, though. Anyway, I have these letters, so if you signed up to help for Bible school, I sent these out in an email if I had your email address. If you didn't get one, they're on the front row. Please get it. If you signed up to be a prayer warrior for Bible school and you haven't gotten one of these yet, please take one. If I run out of copies, I'll have the blank one in the chapel with me. This Wednesday, June the 3rd, we'll set up for Bible school. Anybody is welcome to come help us. Many hands make light work. We'll start at 2. I know some people can't be here till after school or after work, but we'll be here all afternoon, so come on whenever you can. If you are a volunteer for Bible school, we have a meeting that we ask that you please, please make plans to attend this Wednesday night at 5:45. We'll be done by the time church starts. We'll even bring you some snacks to eat, but it's very important. So please come. You'll get your materials. We'll have some prayer time for Bible school, and you'll get some important information that you really need. So please come to that this Wednesday. Setting up starts at 2 until the meeting starts at 5:45. And Bible school will be June 7th through 12th, Sunday through Thursday, with the closing program on Friday. 5:45 to 8:45 in the evening. So we hope you'll come and bring your kids and invite some more kids to come with you. Thanks.
Come here. Dr. Blank had an announcement.
Just several. You notice the choir is not in the loft this morning. Our choir director came up with a serious condition of the bronchial infection. It's a very contagious stage right now and felt she should not be out in the service. So the choir is not singing. In the place of that, Brother Mark is going to share a special number dedicated to our graduates. Choir, this will actually be the last of our being together as a choir until our 2 months of summer break is over. We will begin back again the beginning of August with choir. Be ready to rehearse, and that song we're going to do this morning, we'll do that Sunday at that time. Also, we do want to mention today is the last Sunday to give to your monthly support to our missionaries. Our committee will meet on Wednesday night as usually scheduled at 8 o'clock. For those of you who are not with Bible school, meet with me and we'll make the disbursement matters at that point. Any in the Bible school that are not working after 8 o'clock time, come and join us at the usual place for our meeting. So again, God bless you as you continue remembering our missionaries in prayer and their financial support. Lord bless you all.
Also wanted to mention for us just to remember to be in prayer for Dr. Walls, as he will be leaving tomorrow morning to go to Honduras for several weeks, and also Miss Frankie and Miss Teresa will be leaving the following Wednesday, and just pray for their safety and bless their time there. And just be in remember them in your prayers each day as they travel and prepare for that trip. With any other announcements that need to be made this morning from the congregation? Patrick?
Good morning. Yesterday we had our fishing tournament and we had a pretty good turnout. I'm just going to go over, tell everybody who won. The people who won already got their prizes. So just as for your information, the largest brim caught yesterday. Ann Grace came in second with weighing in at almost 12 ounces. Belize won his weight in almost at 13 ounces. The largest warmouth, Jeb came in second, and Sadie came in first. So, and then the largest bass, John Michael, came in first. His was weighing in at 2 pounds and 5 ounces. And Belize came in second with 1 pound and almost 10 ounces. And this is this category, the smallest fish, everyone for some reason always want to win this. Shad's family had the fishing hole yesterday for this. Millie came in second at 16 grams and Eli at 12 grams. So John Hardy, his group was catching the meat and Shad's group was catching the minnows yesterday. So we had a great time, and Mr. Maxey, I know, and George and them, and some helpers cooked some fried catfish, and it was great. So thank you for everyone who came out and cooked for us, and I know we had a good time. Some instructions for the youth dinner. We're going to do the two tables as you're walking into Fellowship Hall on the right side, those first two rows. If you just want to have the people, our kids, bring food out to you, your drinks and everything, just go in and sit down, and we'll have some kids and some adults bring the food to you. If you would like to just serve yourself, and which is fine, you can go in and just get in line and find a seat after you get your food. And the meal for today, something to think about: hamburgers and hot dogs, baked beans, potato salad, chips, ice cream, sweet tea, and lemonade. So think about that for the next hour. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. Any other announcements this morning? If not, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for protecting us and providing for us and bringing us back safely together this morning for this worship time. And I do pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time together, and that everything that we say and do this morning would honor you and glorify you, and you would use what is said and done to draw us closer to you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Truly a great day in the lives of our graduates. I'm sure you can certainly say with us today, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Join with me together as we sing the call to worship, Wonderful, Wonderful, followed by the medley of choruses as is on the scrolling. Let us stand together. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Singing with joy in our hearts.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Join it together in a song of blessing. Certainly, God is so good. God is so good. To that, I love you, Lord. While you're standing, greet those around you, wishing them God's blessing today.
It is always kind of a joy, a special joy, to honor those that have made significant achievements in their lives, and we do that as a church, like many churches either today or next Sunday will do as we honor our graduates. In Proverbs it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that always prevails. And I believe those are good, wise words for you guys to remember. There's lots of great plans out there, but the plan that makes the most significance is going to be God's purpose for your lives. And I tell you, don't play it safe. I'm not really sure where that has come up, that so often we all just play it safe. You know, we want to go out, we make enough money. Follow God's plan. Follow the Lord and let the adventure begin. All right, because you never know what he's going to do in your life. You not know not what he's going to do in your life. You don't know where he's going to lead your life and who he is going to allow your life to touch somebody else's life. Back in the early 1800s, there was a group of missionaries known as one-way missionaries. And I love the thought. They bought a one-way ticket, and they didn't pack a suitcase. They packed a coffin. With what few belongings they were going, because they knew that when they left their home, they weren't ever coming back. They were going to go wherever the Lord led them. They were going to do whatever the Lord put before them to do. But they knew that that was their life, following the Lord. And A.W. Milne was one of those one-way missionaries. And he was headed to the South Pacific. And he knew that the group of islands that he was going to was notorious. They had killed a lot of missionaries before him. But he didn't care. He had already died. Remember that idea? I've died to myself. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He said, I've already died to myself, so it doesn't matter what happens to me there. I'm following the Lord. And after 35 years of service, when he died, the tribe that he ministered to, that he loved all those years, that he touched in the name of Jesus, and a life touched in the name of Jesus is never the same, guys. But they put up this epitaph. It says, before he came, there was no light. After he left, there was no darkness. Man, I love that. You know, he didn't play it safe. He simply was willing to sell out and follow the Lord. And that's what I encourage you to do. Just sell out. Take a chance. And really, in reality, the risk is not in following the Lord. The risk is in not following. That's where the true risk comes in. Now, if you're gonna follow the Lord, I got to tell you, you're going to have to get with him every day, all right? Every day, praying and reading the Bible, and there's a lot of great devotionals out there. And we got you a devotional book, because I'm confident you already got so many Bibles already in your homes, all right? So I wanted to get you a devotional book about experiencing God, about how you let God work in your life. And it's a year-long devotional. I encourage you to start today and finish it up 1 year from today. Because we're proud of you. We're proud of what you have accomplished. And there is a sense where something is ending, but something much greater is just beginning for you. Let the journey begin. Let the adventure and the fun of following the Lord be ever in front of you. I want to pray for you, and then Dr. Blank is going to kind of read your accomplishments, and then when he gets finished, if you'll step up here, I'll give you your devotional. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this group of graduates that are here in our sanctuary this morning, and we're excited because we see the great potential in their lives, potential because of who you made them to be. You created them for a very specific purpose and plan in mind. And Lord, we know that as they are faithful in following you, that they're going to do some great things. And we are so excited that you have allowed us as a church to play a small role in their life and in their family and in their development. So bless them today, Lord. Lord, help them that they would embrace you in your entirety. Lord, may they not play it safe, but may they follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first we wish to recognize is Jessie Beasley, the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Tab Beasley. Jessie is a graduate of the East Clarendon High School. She's graduating with honors and is named valedictorian. She plans to attend Charleston Southern, majoring in kinesiology. Recognizing Drew Floyd, the daughter of Doug and Joy Floyd. She's an honor graduate of East Clarendon School. She's also vice president of the Beta Club. She will be attending Central Carolina Technical College, then transferring to Columbia College to obtain a degree in speech therapy. Drew? Ryan Knowlton is the son of Paul and Amy Knowlton. He's a graduate of East Clarendon High School. He played high school football and baseball and was named All-Region in baseball. He's planned to attend Central Carolina Technical College. Ryan? Justin Mueller is the son of Mark and Dell Mueller. Justin has been a part of the East Clarendon golf team since the seventh grade and has played in the first position the last 3 years. During his sophomore year, he finished sixth at the state, earning him the spot in the All-State team. Excuse me. This last January, Justin was able to correct a significant flaw in one of the golfers' swing, which entitled him to be named among the Masters in April. He will be attending Central Carolina in Sumter, taking business and accounting, then plans to transfer to Furman, to FMU to complete his studies, Francis Marion University. Justin. Corey Shearer is the son of David and Emmy Shearer. He is an honor graduate of East Clarendon School. Corey is a member of the National Beta Club. He was nominated Outstanding Student by his high school math teacher. As a rising senior at East Clarendon, Corey was nominated by the local American Legion as a delegate to attend the Palmetto Boys State in 2014. He passed the PBS bar exam during that time. Also, Corey made all-region for varsity golf and received a South Carolina High School League Scholarship Athletic Award. Further mentioning, he is president of the Southern Methodist Church Eastern Annual Conference Epworth League. Corey will be attending USC Columbia in the fall, and he'll be majoring in biology. Corey. And then there is Carrie Watts. Carrie is the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Jimmy Watts, and she took honors classes throughout her high school. She's planning to attend Asheville Buchan Technical College in the fall, with intentions of going on to the Appalachian State College in Boone, North Carolina. She has done voluntary work for Brother Wolf and at the local hospital. I believe Carrie is probably absent at this time, but we'll see that she gets her particular acknowledgement. Among our college graduates, there is Zane Beasley, attended Francis Marion University, earning his Bachelor of Science in Science. I believe Zane is not here, but I see him under that mortarboard there. And then Matthew Godwin attended Orangeburg Calhoun Tech, earned an associate's degree in physical therapy assistance. Matthew, I believe, is not with us today, but we'll get his acknowledgement gift. And then David Shearer attended the Medical University of South Carolina, earning his master's in healthcare administration. David Shearer is with us at this time. David? Brother Pastor, I believe this completes the roll call of our graduating students.
Go have fun. Go light up the world for Christ. Let's pray again. If you've looked at your prayer list, you realize there is a bunch of new names that are on there from the week before. Be sure you uplift them in your thoughts and prayers. Lord, we bow before you again, and we acknowledge that when we do life, we need you so desperately. And so this morning, Lord, we pray that you would come, that you would speak, that you would direct our hearts, our lives closer to you, so that we might be more available for you to use in order to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. Lord, we believe in you. We believe in your message. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to speak and to live that message every single day. We especially want to pray for those on our prayer list, and there's just so many names that are before us. And yet, with each need that is represented, you're bigger and you're greater than any need. And so we place them before you, believing and knowing that you're active in each and every one, asking for you to heal and for you to touch and for your grace and for your peace and for your power to make a difference. And again, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of worship. May we give ourselves to you, that you might transform us and lead us, Lord, on the on the journey that you've prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's only for a moment you are mine to hold. The plans that heaven has for you will all too soon unfold. So many different prayers I pray for all that you might do. But most of all I want to know that you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you to know that as I watch you grow, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith will give you courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you rooms to help you find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your days. And may conviction keep you strong, guide you on your way. May there be many memories to make your life so sweet. Oh, but more than memories, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you room to help you find your wings. It's not living if you don't reach for the sky. I'll have tears as you take off, but I'll cheer as you fly. I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you rooms to help you find your wings.
Thank you, Mark. Ushers, please come forward to receive our tithes and offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for your many blessings, what you've given us, what you've blessed us with. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be good stewards of it. And we ask also, Lord, that as we give this portion back, you would take it and use it for your honor, for your glory, for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
During the singing of this next hymn, we will dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship. And then just before the pastor comes and shares the message of the morning, our male quartet is going to favor you with a special selection. At this time, joining together, number 452, Make Me a Blessing. Let's stand together and make a blessing to God today. Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
For the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they
say
sight. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I'm glad that we are not random accidental beings that have simply evolved, that's going to live a few short years, and then that's all that there is. Because if that's all there is, you might as well eat, drink, be merry. If you're lucky, you party a little bit, and then you're not going to be anymore anyway. But that's not who we are. See, I'm thankful that there's meaning and there is purpose that goes beyond just our mere existence on this earth, that there's meaning and purpose for us in eternity. And the truth is, I like the fact that I know exactly what my life is supposed to be about this morning. There is no ambiguity whatsoever about it. Not me, not you, not for anybody in the world. Jesus put it out there for us. And he didn't put it out there in such a way that it's going to take some sort of a degree to figure it out. He said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You want to have a life, you want to have a good life, you want to go out there and make a difference in life, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's the only way to do it. And there's nothing better, I think, than living out God's purpose for our lives. And isn't it neat that God made us each special that way? My purpose or my specific calling isn't your calling. And your calling is not mine. That's the beauty of the God that created us. The beauty of the God that we worship and that we serve is that we each have something very specific that God has put us together on this earth to accomplish. But this I can also say. We cannot serve the Lord without telling other people about the Lord. You can call it missions. You can call it outreach. You can call it witnessing. You can call it sharing with others what Jesus did for you. You call it whatever you want to call it this morning. But serving the Lord means that we have to tell other people about how that Jesus came and that he took our sins on that cross. That wondrous moment when all the bad things that I ever have done and ever will do, he took my sin on that cross and he forgave my sins from that cross. We have to go out there and we have to tell people that because of what Jesus did, we've got a choice with what to do with our lives. We get to choose. Are we going to worship the Lord our God and serve him only? Are we going to embrace his plan for our lives or are we not? See, we get a choice. And people need to know that they have a choice because the clock is ticking this morning. People do not have forever. We all will someday stand before God, and people need to know what Jesus did for them. In fact, that's what Jesus said to do, isn't it? He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus did not say, go find a comfortable church and enjoy potluck dinners. We do like to do that. But Jesus didn't say, go find that church. He didn't even say, go find a church that sings the music the way you like it to be sung and feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. He said, go make disciples. He didn't say, hey, you know, just at least every now and again, try to do something good for me, will you? No, he said, go make disciples. I like what Dr. Will Willimon said about the Great Commission and about the church a few years ago. He said, to many on the outside, the church is like a football huddle. You know that something important is being said in there, but you can't understand a word of it, and all you can see is their rear ends. Go make disciples, said Jesus. Don't hang out just on the inside. Now, worship, yes. We can't ever serve the Lord if we don't get the worship part right. Worship the Lord, yes. Come together to worship, but then serve me by going and make disciples. We want to make disciples. We want to see them come to faith in Jesus. We want to see them grow in their faith. And no, it's not about just look at us and how we're growing and what a great church that we are. We're the flag church of the denomination. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's about being obedient, and there really is only two choices, right? Yeah, there's only two choices. And it's about serving. And I will say it this morning, it's about the numbers. It's about counting, folks. Because every person represents a soul, and every soul is important to God, and God has already counted, and so should we. Every soul counts before God. Look, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through, and sometimes we like to really key on the worship part. We like to get together, and we like to enjoy the fellowship as much as we should, but sometimes we forget that the world is our mission field, and we are sent. We are sent with His message. You know, sometimes in sports, they like to come up with, you know, some sort of a motto for the season in order to keep the team focused and inspired and motivated. Play like a champion today. Every game is game 7. All out, all game, all season. See, these kind of, you know, again, kind of keep the team focused. A few years ago, after winning the Super Bowl, one particular coach came up with this motto for the next year. He said, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get back to the Super Bowl. Whatever it takes to get back there and to win that game. He said, that's what we're going to do. Whatever it takes in practice. Whatever it takes in the game. Whatever it takes, that's what we will do. I kind of like that, don't you? And I kind of believe maybe that ought to be part of our motto is God's people today. Whatever it takes, Lord, to tell other people about you. Whatever, Lord, it takes, we're not going to hold anything back, but we're going to go all in for you every single day. Mottos are great so long as we live them out. Our motto, by the way, is what? Until the whole world knows. Until the whole world knows, are we going to, as a church, do whatever it takes to really fulfill the motto, or is it simply a bunch of words that we like to throw up around our mission conference to make us feel good? Whatever it takes. Look, if I tell you I want to drop 20 pounds, but I don't change my eating habits and I don't do any exercise, how serious am I about losing the 20 pounds? Yeah, not very. Thank you. If we as a church say that we are going to do whatever it takes until the whole world knows, but we don't ever really do anything, we don't do anything more than we've already been doing, how serious are we as a church? See, sincerity, and by the way, whatever it takes, takes sincerity. Sincerity is always visible. You can see it in our lives by the way that we live. And we must sincerely, by the way, put Jesus Christ first in our lives. We've got to do that, number one. And that's not, by the way, about going out to the bookstore and buying the very biggest Bible that you can find and strapping it to your back and walking around with this long, sad, hard face and saying, man, it's just hard to be a Christian. That's not what it takes. And that's not what really putting Christ first in our life is all about. But it's simply going to the Lord and saying, Lord, here I am. I'm not sure exactly where you're going to lead me, but I'm right behind you because wherever you go, that's where I'll be following. See, it's about praying for opportunities. That's what it takes. Are you praying that God's going to give you opportunities this week to touch a life for Him? It's going to take you praying that God will open your eyes. How many times do we walk around our community and we walk right by somebody that is lost and they've got 2 feet almost in hell and the flames are getting higher and we don't even pay any attention that they're lost? If we don't do anything to reach them, how serious are we about until the world knows? Are we serious? Are we sincere? Will we, as Bill Hybel said, walk into the zone of the unknown, believing that somehow God's going to use us to make a difference in somebody else's life? You know, the truth is simply this. The simple reason why a lot of churches don't have the people nor the money to do ministry or missions is they haven't put God first. That's the simple truth. Whatever it takes. Oh, it takes sincerity. It takes giving our lives to Jesus and letting Him fill us with His wonderful love. There used to be a song out there, a pop song out there, said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone. And then at some point in the song said, and it's the one thing there's just not enough of. It's not exactly right, but the song's pretty close to right. What the world needs now is the love of Jesus. And there certainly isn't enough of the love of Jesus in our world today, for sure. No, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, the love of Christ compels. Now, that's a strong word, isn't it? Compels. The love of Christ compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And Jesus died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Compels us to love each other. And for the most part, we can do that, can't we? We can pull that off most of the time. But Jesus didn't stop there. In fact, he went well beyond the line that most of us would think is even reasonable. He said, we've got to even love and pray for those that are persecuting us and that hate us. He said, you got to love your enemies. But I don't want to love my enemies. And if I pray for them, I want to pray that they get theirs. When we pray, do we pray for ISIS? And are we praying that they'll have a vision of revelation of who Jesus Christ really is? Or are we praying that our military will bond them into eternity and into hell? How are we praying? I don't want to pray, Lord, give them mercy. I want to say, Lord, they're beheading Christians. Take them out. That's what I want to pray. But Jesus said, love your enemy. And not only that, I find it hard to love people that are out there and they're simply exploiting and preying on so many children in our world today. I don't want to pray for them. Truth is, I find it hard to even love those that don't care that children are being preyed on in our world today. And there's a lot of people that fall into that category. Truth is, I not only don't want to do it, and it's not that it's just hard for me to do, it's impossible for me to do, except, and you got to hear the except this morning, except by the living presence of Jesus Christ in my life, who all of a sudden pours His love into me in a way that I can't explain it and I don't understand it, but I know that it's there, and all of a sudden I know that eternity is long and hell is real, and I don't want anybody, even my enemies, to go there. Now, love doesn't mean that we ignore the sin, because Calvary truly shouts that God does not ignore sin. But love says that we reach out and that we go. God is love. It takes massive amounts of God's love to do what it takes in order to get the message of Jesus out to those that need to hear. Sincerity? Oh, yes. Love, most certainly. Because it takes the overflowing presence of His love in our lives so that we will have enough passion within us to go out and light up the world for Jesus. See, a belief is something we'll argue about. But a passion is something we'll die for. May Christ fill us with a passion for people lost people that need to hear about Jesus. Rick Warren tells a story about his father right before he died. He had cancer in the last couple of weeks. He was pretty much in and out of consciousness, delirious at times. And at one particular point, just a day or two before his father passed away, he said his father was really just very anxious and trying to get out of bed. They were trying to keep him still and comforted. And finally, he said, I asked him, Dad, why are you trying to get up? And he said, I got to win one more for Jesus. I got to win one more for Jesus. Now, he said he was out of his mind. And he said, but deep down in his heart, he just knew. He said, that's passion for Jesus. Till he took his last breath, he wanted to win one more, just one more for Jesus. I don't know how many that God has blessed any of us with leading folks to Calvary, but I tell you, it's not enough. We need to try to get at least one more for Jesus before we draw our final breath. The greater our passion, the more our sincerity, the more the love of Jesus will truly lead our lives. Whatever it takes. Paul told the Romans, understand the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The clock is ticking. And to me, it's a terrible, horrible thing that the world is asleep to their great need of God's grace and forgiveness in their life. But it is a far more terrible thing to me that many churches today are asleep to that very fact. That we're asleep to the pains of the people that are all around us. And how that so many people need to hear about Jesus. Yes, we don't make the decision for them, but we are responsible to take the message to them. Go, said Jesus, go. That's what I'm telling you to do. Go, get out there, light up the world, share with them my love. Have a passion and a sincerity about who you are. Go, said Jesus. A young salesman was really upset because he let a sale get off the hook. And he was bemoaning it to an older, more experienced salesperson. And he said, well, I guess that just goes to prove the old adage. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. And the old, wiser salesperson said, son, it's not your place to make him drink. It's your place to make him thirsty. May God move within us in such a way that as we go out and we live our lives by the way that we live our, people will thirst for the living water of Christ because of what they're seeing and hearing within us. When people hang around us, do they want to know more about Jesus, or do they say, man, I don't want anything to do with Jesus? Are we making them thirsty for who Christ is? Are we willing to really get up and go when Christ says go? I know a man who said one day, he was at a revival services, and the person preaching the revival preached long and hard, and at the end of it, the man came forward and he knelt down and he was praying, and I mean, he is a Christian already, and so the pastor let him spend his time, but he could tell he was really burdened about it. So finally, the pastor moved down to the altar area, and just as he about got there, the man just kind of just stopped praying instantly and almost like jumped up. The pastor says, is something wrong? And he said, no, but I got to go, and I've got to go now. And he said, well, why? What? Something's got to be wrong. He said, no. He said, I've been praying that God's finger would touch my friend tonight. And he said, God just told me to be his finger, and I got to go. He said, I like that. When God begins to move in our hearts and says, man, I want you to go be my hand and my feet today. Go touch somebody. See, Jesus was on a mission, and he sent us on a mission as well. And people are looking and searching because they want meaning and purpose in life. I'm telling you, people want to know that there's something more to life than simply getting out of bed, going to work, getting a paycheck, and dying in a few years. They want meaning and purpose. And so we're sent out to them. Jesus said, go. Go make disciples. He didn't say, go be a defense attorney that defends God, because we are not called to defend God and what God has done and the way God has chosen to do it. God can take care of his own defense. We're not sending out as prosecutors to tell people that they're on the highway to hell and they're going to be there shortly. That's not our place either. We're not out there even as salespeople who are trying to sell people something they don't need. What we are to be is a living witness to Jesus Christ. We're going to tell them what he did on the hill called Mount Calvary and how that 3 days later he arose from the dead. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Chris Lewis was going through their church was doing the 40 Days of Purpose, and so she was going to host one of the Bible studies in her home, and so in her apartment complex, and so she had posted a little notice on the community bulletin board that she was starting a group. Anybody interested could show up on a day and a time that was specified. And she put one up one day. She went back the next day to look at it, and she noticed it was gone. So she went back and put up another one. She went back later that day, and it was gone. So she put up yet another one. In fact, this went on for about a week. Every day she put up two and three flyers because somebody kept tearing them down and throwing them away. Well, the day finally came, and apparently enough people saw that the flyers there, and four or five people showed up for the Bible study. In fact, one lady showed up, and before the study was over, had given her life to Christ and then confessed that she'd been the one throwing the flyers away. My question is not so much about why she was throwing the flyer away, but what if Chris Lewis had stopped the first time? Would the kingdom have grown or not? Maybe, maybe not. What I'm saying is, don't give up. I know you go out there sometimes, and yes, sometimes they'll slam a door in your face, or yes, sometimes they'll say, I don't want to hear none of that nonsense. Don't stop. Don't stop. Jesus said, go make disciples. Don't stop. Let's take the message out to every person. Let's let Christ fill us with his love to the point that we got to go out and share his message. Look, as much as Psalm 23 has comforted scores of people that have been going through difficulty, particularly times of death, you know, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want, lead me beside still waters, he takes me through the valley of the shadow of death. As much as that psalm has comforted people, as much as Philippians 4:19 has been a source of encouragement of how God's committed to take care of us, for my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. As much as Psalm 23 has comforted and Philippians 4:19 gives us the assurance that God's going to provide for us, so Matthew 28, when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all, so should those words commission us to do whatever it takes. The question is, are we going to be a part of lighting up the world or not? How bright is the world going to be this week? Because we chose to be a part of his kingdom. Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And you can't serve if you don't go. Lord, this morning we thank you even for the challenge of your word to go. Because we thank you for a love that somehow we can't define and we can't really truly describe, but it is a love that's powerful and true, and Lord, it has shaped and it has changed our lives, and we believe that that love is going to change others. So Lord, in this moment of commitment, may we simply voice our commitment to you in song that we're willing to be used by you to touch other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing.
Joining together, we invite you to turn to hymn number 453. It is our closing hymn, is also, as usual, a hymn of invitation. I gave my life for thee. The challenge is, will we give all to him? If you feel as a believer led for the Lord to come and publicly and personally say, Lord, I commit myself anew, and I want everyone to know that, we invite you to come to this altar of rededication as we sing, I gave my life for thee. Either way, let's go from here more committed than we came this morning.
go. Go follow the Lord's plan for your life. Go enjoy the adventure. Go share His love with someone this week. May God bless you.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Let's just have a word of prayer and blessing on the food that you're going to enjoy in a moment. When you get back there, then you enjoy the fellowship and food. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the beauty of this day and for the fellowship we have as a family of God. For Lord, we are a family. We're a family that are bought by the blood of Christ. As we gather in the fellowship hall to enjoy fellowship and enjoy the meal that you have allowed us to have with the hands that prepared it, bless the hands that prepared it as well as the food to our bodies. May we use the strength we receive from it to glorify you and to go forward and be your witness till Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we ask with thanksgiving. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. You're invited together in the fellowship hall.